space-time could unravel.
Unraveling space-time is bad.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Niall Mader, one of the stars of the sci-fi hit Eureka. Stick around, and just to be on the safe side, keep this one away from your girlfriend, your wife, and, you know, I suspect your mother isn't immune to this guy's charms either. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening and viewing pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of sci-fi titles, including Where's My Jetpack by Daniel H. Wilson, The Greatest Science Fiction Stories of the 20th Century, and The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. Here's an excerpt from The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury.
The Martian Chronicles was published in the late spring of 1950 to a few reviews. Only Christopher Isherwood placed a laurel wreath on my head as he introduced me to Aldous Huxley, who at tea leaned forward and said, "Do you know what you are?" "Don't tell me what I'm doing," I thought. "I don't want to know." "You," said Huxley, "are a poet." "I'll be damned," I said. "No." "Blessed," said Huxley. "Truly, genetically blessed. And the blessing lies in this book."
You can also download The Profiler, written by famed criminal profiler Pat Brown and yours truly, which Pat will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of panting young women who are complaining that the living room studio could really stand to have a full liquor bar and more Chex Mix in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Bad news for former Ugly Betty actor Christopher Gorham. Buddy TV just named Niall Mader the hunkiest nerd in the history of TV. That's right. He's laughing. That's right. The man who plays Deputy Sheriff Joe's love interest, Zane Donovan, on the sci-fi hit Eureka is officially hot. Of course, the women in my household have been saying that for some time now. The smoldering sensuality, the bad boy antics, the reckless behavior, all wrapped up in the mind of a scientific genius, apparently makes for good TV. Whatever. Look, if you've never watched Eureka, which returns to sci-fi for season 4.5 on Monday, July 11th at 8 p.m., what's wrong with you? It's one of the smartest shows on TV these days, always managing to one-up itself. It's part of a lineup of great returning summer shows alongside Warehouse 13 and Haven. And thanks to an inspired new take on the old alternate timeline scheme, Mader has earned an opportunity to return to Zane's wilder nature. Before several of the leads went back in time to World War II-era Eureka, he was on the verge of marrying Deputy Joe, or at least so we believed. But when their return to modern-day Eureka happened and screwed up the time-space continuum, and you know what happens when the time-space continuum gets screwed up, Zane knew nothing of the other Zane's proposal, and instead of being ready to wed, he was ready to party all the time. Well, sharp-eyed viewers probably already recognize Mader from stints on several other sci-fi standards, including Stargate Atlantis and Warehouse 13, although he may be best known to others as Mothman from the film adaptation of the Watchmen graphic novel. Well, now it's my absolute pleasure to greet the only man to ever be a guest on the show and probably, possibly, be better looking than me, Niall Mader. Welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's just take that. Let's let folks take that in, the two of us in one screen. How about that, huh? Yeah, I know. It's a little hard to get over. So, hunkiest nerd in the history of TV. I know I'm not telling you something you hadn't already heard about. Do I envy you or feel bad for you with that?
I don't know. I don't know what you would do with that. I don't even know what I'm doing with that. I was called by my manager, and they sent this email after the phone call, and I didn't know how to react. I just kind of laughed at it. To be called hunky and then to be called a nerd, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah.
That's, I don't know. It's kind of weird. And, you know, I had actress Faith Ford, who used to be on Murphy Brown. She was on the show a few weeks ago. And I had read that in 1991, People magazine named her one of the sexiest people on Earth or something like that. And
yeah.
I said to her, you know, when there's a reunion of the sexiest people from 1991, you know, who else would be there? She said, I don't know. She said, I didn't pay any attention to that at all, and I don't know who else was on the list, and I'm very uncomfortable with that. And I thought, really? Boy, I'd be telling my grandkids about stuff like that. But I don't know. Is it weird to hear that, you know, you're on a list like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first part is just – well, actually, they're both genetic dispositions, I guess. The nerdy part, though, is I got everyone fooled that they think I'm smart. About that. I mean, the look thing is just – that's just – I don't know. I mean, how do you take that, really? I mean, I don't really know how to take that. So it doesn't really affect me either way. But I had a good laugh at it. That was for sure.
Fair enough. Have you gotten teased about it at all on set?
No. Colin said something about it, but he wasn't teasing me about it. He just said, hey, man, I see you made that list. Nice. That's about it. Yeah, our family unity is pretty strong on Eureka, so there's not much teasing that happens.
Oh, okay. But you, well, I was going to ask you later, but I'll ask you now. I mean, anyone who follows the Twitter feeds of both the cast and some of the crew and creators of Eureka, you guys interact all the time, it seems like. You do get a sense that it's a very tight-knit group.
Yeah, it's a very tight-knit group. It's actually they are the reason why I actually got on Twitter, because they were all doing it last season, and I vowed to never get on Twitter. I didn't want to, and it was actually during our downtime when I was down in L.A. with Colin, and we were hanging out, and he thought it would be a good idea. So I ended up getting on, and mostly I interact with the other cast and crew on Twitter, but I'm expanding slowly but surely. I'm getting used to it.
Okay, now I got to ask, because you brought it up. Where do Niall Mader and Colin Ferguson, two of the male leads of Eureka, off the show, hang out? What do you guys do? I mean,
well, I can't really give that away.
Well, I mean, you know, is it that you go out for dinner? Do you go bowling? I mean, you know.
No, we mostly get together whenever one of our hockey teams are playing. I'm a huge Edmonton Oilers fan, mm-hmm. and he's a Montreal Canadiens fan, and we'll go to whatever CD dive sports bar is in the area and watch the game there. That's what we do normally. Pull up to the bar and order really bad food that makes me go to the gym for 3 hours the next day and drink some beer.
Well, all right. So I have to ask you, is it a good thing or a bad thing then that Winnipeg is getting a team again? I mean, I'm thinking the fans of, you know, Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto. I mean, Montreal. You think. This is something you've been able to hold over the heads of people from Winnipeg for years, that they haven't had a team, that they were a second-class city, but now they're getting a team again. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, Winnipeg had a team before.
Right, but they haven't. They had the Winnipeg Jets, but, I mean, they haven't had a team for years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And, no, Canadian cities don't do that. I don't think we really hold that over any other city's head. We're really happy that there's another Canadian team now in the NHL. I mean, the more the merrier. If there were more cities in Canada, maybe we'd have more teams. I mean, we're a small nation.
Yeah.
We're big in size, but small in numbers.
And so gracious, so damned gracious.
Yeah, there's a lot of polite people up here, that's for sure.
All right. Well, I want to get to ask you about Eureka, of course, but I got to ask you one more thing, because I know it's like when I have a beautiful young actress on the show. People want to know certain things. I got to ask you, certainly for the women in my house and for the women who will be watching this, married, single, committed, you know.
Oh, I'm in a very committed relationship. I've never been married, but no, unfortunately, I'm not single.
Yeah, I would think it'd be a great time to be single, being the hunkiest nerd on TV.
You know what? Actually, it's I like being in a committed relationship. It's one of the greatest times to be in a committed relationship. To tell you the truth, you have someone to share it with. I think a lot of people nowadays forget that it's important to have somebody to share something with.
And so, would you say that your girlfriend, I guess, is closer to? I have to ask this, to Joe or Allison on the show?
My girlfriend has never seen the show.
No, but I mean, is she more like the character of Joe, or is she more like the character of Allison, or not?
She would be more like the character of Allison.
I was guessing that. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the show. I won't bother you anymore about your private life. It's very uncomfortable. It gives me the willies to do anyway, but you got to do what you got to do. Let's get a little caught up on how the last we saw of Eureka ended. Joe and Zane were kind of working their way back to something going on. Where did things end, and where do they pick up as 4.5 starts?
4.5, as 4.5 starts, Zane he's aware of the fact that they had something before, and he's getting frustrated because he can't figure it out. So in the season premiere of episode 4.5, Zane and Fargo end up going through a situation that brings them really close together. And in that situation, Zane has the ability to kind of put him on the spot and really question him about everything. And a lot of understanding comes out of the initial episode back, which is great, because then we're able to go from there and see how Zane works at discovering something again with Joe.
As I recall, the trigger for this starting again was Joe had Zane's grandmother's ring, was it, around her neck? Zane couldn't understand, where did you get that? And that it kind of triggered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it triggered a lot of things for Zane. I mean, he's no slouch in the mental department. So he just started tracing things back and figured out that it would have been impossible for her to have got that ring without him giving it to her. And it doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Now, I know you're in the process of filming season 5 right now, so you know the answer to this question, and I certainly appreciate that you probably can't tell me, but let me ask you this. I'm envisioning, television being what it is, that Joe and Zane will have a long courtship. If anything, that it we're not going to finish season 4.5 with a wedding or anything, but there'll be a courtship. It's fun to see these two, you know, dating and working their thing out.
You know what? I can honestly tell you, it is a very, very long, drawn out courtship between the two characters, and it's been a lot of fun because it makes it a very mature relationship, and there's always something different going on with the two of them now. Rather than just getting into a simple solution and solving their relationship issues and being in a relationship, now you see them struggle to try to figure out if they even want a relationship with each other. And ultimately, they do figure things out and figure out which direction they want to go, either individually or together. And it's been a lot of fun to play with that. And it carries on all the way up to this point in season 5 as well.
The writers of Eureka, and I love the show. People who listen to this know I'm a big, big fan of Eureka. They've done wonders with the relationship between the Sheriff Carter's character and his daughter, where she was the wild thing before Zane came to town. She was wild and always getting into stuff. And then she settled down, and then Zane showed up, and Zane was the wild card. And they settled him down. And it's amazing that you've had this opportunity to play this wild character yet again.
Yeah, it's actually been a big gift to me as an actor to have got that reset in the timeline. Because Zane did really, he really did settle down. And doing the restart just opened him back up to a whole different world of possibilities again.
I'm guessing the alternate timeline was completely constructed so that they could take Zane back and do a year one with Zane all over again. Had nothing to do with any of the characters, right?
Probably not.
Now, I did notice that in the main image on the sci-fi page for Eureka, I was looking at it today, that you are pictured, how can I put this, the main cast is pictured and you're there. I see that, oh, God, I promised I wouldn't call him the Old Spice guy, but, you know, oh, gosh, the 1940s doctor. Oh, I'm just drawing a complete blank.
Oh, James,
yeah.
James Callis, yeah.
Yeah. Last season, it seemed like he was in those pictures. He's not. I don't recall if you were in the main cast images when season four began, but you're certainly big and prominent in the images now.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever made the cast images ever, to tell you the truth. I don't know why. I'm not sure why, but I've never made them before. And if I'm in them this season, that's news to me, because you're telling me that right now. I didn't even know that.
Folks, go look at the Eureka homepage on Sci-Fi, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Very prominent in that image.
I'm going to look at that right now.
Yeah, push me off the screen. one more question, and then we'll take a quick break. Tell us about your, if you wouldn't mind, tell us about your off-camera relationship with Erica Serra, who plays Joe. And is she as much a firecracker, you know, off screen as she is on?
Oh yeah. Erica is a firecracker. She always has an opinion. She's always talking. If I'm talking about something, she always throws her two bits in. She's hilarious. She's funny. She keeps the set very live, very lively, and very active. That's for sure.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman. And you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with actor Niall Mader. I got it right. One of the stars of the sci-fi original series Eureka, which airs every Monday night this summer at 8 p.m. And we'll be right back.
Mighty 8. It's here now. New 98 Super Premium at the red, white, and blue Ingram sign. Power plus economy at your friendly Ingram Oil dealers now. Here's a man that really appreciates that new Ingram power.
Take a tip from me, Harlan Hill of the Chicago Bears. I'm a professional plastic receiver, and the red, white, and blue Ingram disc is the best catch I ever made. You can get Ingram's new 98 Super Premium gasoline at your friendly Ingram dealer today. This is another forward step by Ingram, a company that is producing for the present and planning for the future. Remember, you get power plus economy when you fill your car with Ingram's new 98 Super Premium. Watch for the Ingram sign.
Get more gold for your dough with Ingram's new 98 Super Premium at the white Ingram pump with the red pump. Get Ingram 98 Platinum Treated Gasoline at these friendly Ingram dealers.
Hey, this is comedian Mark Maron, and I love Mr. Media Radio, even though he didn't let me go on as long as some other guests.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with actor Niall Mader, one of the stars of the sci-fi original series Eureka, which airs every Monday night this summer at 8 p.m. I couldn't help but notice over your shoulder, and I think you're in your apartment in Vancouver, a drum kit. Can you?
Yeah.
Yours, I assume? You play?
Yeah, that's mine. Yeah, I've been playing since I was 13, which is a long time if anyone knows my age.
17 years?
That would be correct.
I know way too much about Eureka-related stuff. This is not healthy.
That's pretty good.
Maybe if it was Erica Serra, it would be more understandable, but I don't know, for some reason I know this today. do you play in a band? Do you just like to play at this point? Or
Not anymore, because I left the whole band thing when I was 17, and then actually 18, and then I moved out to Vancouver, and then I worked the oil rigs for so long, and I was traveling back and forth. I didn't have any time to get into a band, and then my acting career took off right after my oil rigging career, and I haven't had any time to get back into a band. It's something I will definitely pursue in the future, that's for sure.
How long did you work on oil rigs?
I did that for 8 years. I did that from age 17 until 25. And the oil rigs, like it's seasonal. So you go out in the wintertime up north, northern Alberta, actually. You have to wait for the ground to freeze over so you can move in the heavy equipment. And I did that all the way until 2 weeks before my 26th birthday, actually.
Wow. Probably paid well, but man, hard work, I think.
Oh yeah, the pay was amazing, and that's why I stuck it out so long. I'm a third generation oil rigger, so.
Wow, do they think any less of you that you're acting now instead of working the oil rigs, or do you get credit for time put in?
No, I got credit. I mean, I became a boss out there quite young in the oil patch. I started drilling at around 21 and became a relief tool push at about 22, 23. Kept on drilling and then just became a tool push at like 24. A tool push runs the rig. Oh, he's in charge of all three crews and everything. So I worked a lot with my oldest brother, Trevor.
I'm as you're describing that, I'm thinking about Deadliest Catch, and I'm imagining there's probably similar types of opportunity for storytelling out on oil rigs.
Oh yeah, I mean it was a really bad accident that got me out of the oil field. Actually, I saw a lot of things I wish I didn't see out there. That's for sure. And I had to deal with a lot of things that I wish I didn't have to. But now that I have, it's made me who I am. And I think that that's where the work ethic came from. Now when I'm on set, I find actors complaining about the most mundane and ridiculous things. And I mean, hours don't get to me. Nothing really gets to me when I'm on set because I've been conditioned for it.
It's interesting coming from something else. A lot of people who've grown up as actors, they're very insulated, and their expectations are different. You're probably a joy for the producers to have around because you're not complaining about stupid stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't complain. I mean, I can fall through a set, which I have before, and almost took a fall of about 15 feet. It was actually on Eureka, and I just hopped back up and I was ready for another take. I mean, that type of stuff doesn't get to me because I mean, I'm used to that those types of things going wrong. You know, so I don't have a hard time on set. I love the hours. I just love the crew because actually the crew dynamic mm-hmm. reminds me a lot of the oil field.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way? That's interesting.
Well, because the crew on a film set becomes really close, and they have their inside jokes, their inside pranks, they're playing each other, and each department has their own specific function, and that is very much the way it is on an oil rig. Each piece of equipment has its own specific function, and there's one person designated for each piece of that equipment. So you'll have, lease hands are they're the bottom of the food chain in the oil field, and they basically take care of all the machinery out there and clean everything. And then you have your roughneck who stands on the drilling floor, and then you have your motor hand takes care of all the motors, right? Basically, motor hand. And then you have your derrick hand, who will take care of the pump house and the mud tanks. Like he'll mix up whatever drilling fluid you're using to pump with. And then you also have another derrick hand up the stick. And then you have a driller who's on the floor or in the doghouse all the time. Then you have a tool push. So each person they kind of have their own thing going on. And then you have three different crews. And each crew has its own personality. Oh. My crew, it's actually funny enough. That's actually really funny. My crew was called the Nerd Crew. And then we were called.
Wow,
it's funny. We were called the Nerd Crew because of how healthy all of us were. Every single person that worked on my crew, they all worried about what they were eating, if they were healthy. So we would show up to the rig with like oatmeal, egg whites, spinach, and stuff for breakfast. And we would pack really healthy lunches, a lot of vegetables, fruit. And every other crew was drinking like 2 liter bottles of soda, chocolate bars. My crew wasn't like that. No one on my crew ate that way. And we were all consequently in really good shape, and we liked to work really hard. So the rest of the crew is called us the Nerd Crew because we actually really liked to excel at what we were doing.
Were these deep sea rigs or were they?
No, these were onshore. These were on land, up yeah, up north in northern Alberta. And then sometimes I was stationed in Saskatchewan, like southern Saskatchewan, Leader Saskatchewan, stuff like that. Mm. And then southern Alberta, we were doing shallow gas down there. I've done pretty much everything on the oil rigs. I did a lot of coring. Coring is where you actually extract earth from the ground, mm-hmm. and you actually pull it up, and a geologist is able to look at it and study it.
You know, I got to say, anyone who tuned in and heard you say that you worked on oil rigs for several years and was doubting it, now is there's no doubt in their mind after hearing you describe all that. I'm sure anybody's going, wow, this guy really did that stuff.
Yeah, I really did.
Very
I did
cool.
it. Yeah, I did it for 8 years until I had a really bad accident. I actually I rolled a drilling rig during a midnight move. We were moving the rig at 4 a.m., and I was driving a tandem crane carrier with the derrick mounted on top of it, and the highway broke out from underneath my back bogies, and it caused me to roll the rig in the opposite ditch. And it's a good thing I did, because on my passenger side it was a straight cliff down. So if I would have taken that route, I wouldn't be on Eureka, I'll tell you that much. So I took the other ditch, and I was crushed in the cab, and it took them quite a while to cut me out of there, but eventually I got out, and then I was sent to the hospital, and it was a pretty horrific experience. They wanted to take my leg, and it took a while for me to learn how to walk again. 6 months in rehab, and yeah, it was pretty nasty.
So yeah, I could see. So how did you wind up acting from that? Was that just?
Well, after that happened, I went back to the rig, and I had about a week and a half out there, and I saw another really bad accident happen, and that was it for me. I closed up shop. I came back to my place in Vancouver, and because I get bored really easily, I lied my way into a bartending job so I had something to do. And about a month into bartending, I ended up booking my very first lead role in a sci-fi movie, actually, called Beyond Loch Ness, and I was opposite Brian Krause in that. And it seemed to just kind of snowball after that. As soon as I had that one lead role, I ended up booking a series lead on a show called The Best Years halfway through filming Beyond Loch Ness. And before I knew it, we were wrapping Beyond Loch Ness at 10 p.m. the night of the 31st of October in 2006. And then November 1st, I was flown out to Toronto to start the series the very next day.
Wow. That was a Canadian television show?
Yeah, it was a co-pro. It was Canadian U.S. It was the N Network in the States, which I'm not sure if that's even around anymore. The N Network and then Global Canada.
Wow. And
yeah.
I mean, I was going to ask you, it seems like the people who cast shows for sci-fi definitely like you. And actually, they seem to – I was thinking about this some more. People who've been on sci-fi shows over the years, like the Stargate folks – get a lot of work on other sci-fi stuff. They seem to have some loyalty to the actors and actresses,
which is nice. I mean, it's always nice to find a house that likes to use the same people and take care of those that they've already hired before. I mean, you establish a working rapport, right? It's like any other industry, I guess. But it's definitely nice to find a home. That's for sure.
Does any of that reflect that you have a particular interest in, you know, science fiction and fantasy, or is it just, you know, where you found a home?
You know what? That's just where I found a home. I did not think in a million years that I would be playing one of the smartest minds in the United States, I'll tell you that much. I mean, I grew up playing hockey and football. I don't even own a gaming console in my – like, I never have owned a gaming console. I'm not a gamer. I'm definitely not well-versed in a computer. I don't even type home row. I'm this guy. Like, I'm like –
the way I type.
Everything – you know, that's how I roll too. So yeah, playing a genius computer hacker is definitely far from the realm of my possibility, but, you know, in the world of TV, it's not.
Well, speaking of nerds, I have to ask, because I think you may have mentioned this on your Twitter feed, going to Comic-Con in the next week or two, as I understand.
Yeah.
Have you been before?
Oh, I'm not going to Comic-Con.
Oh, you're not? I thought the cast was going.
No, I'm not. If they're going, I wasn't invited, so.
Oh. I'm sorry I said anything.
Yeah.
Shh.
I didn't know.
Sorry.
Didn't even know. But I am going to Australia.
Oh, okay. What's in Australia?
I'm going to Australia. There's a convention in Australia that Colin, myself, and Neil are going to go do, and that's at the end of October.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Yeah.
Do you get recognized enough to be made uncomfortable by the comics fans, the sci-fi geeks and nerds and what have you?
Up in Canada, I never get recognized except for from that show I did, The Best Years, which was 4 years ago now, and all those teenage girls have grown up, but I don't think they remember who I am anymore.
I would have some doubts about that.
Down in the States, every now and then I get approached, and it's nice. It's nice to know that there's fans out there and fans that appreciate the work that we're doing. Hmm.
I know my daughter was traveling through the airport in Dallas over Christmas holidays, and she called us all excited a few minutes later. And I apologize because I cannot remember the young lady's name. She plays Sheriff Carter's daughter on Eureka. Jordan Henson?
Henson.
And my daughter, who is just about 15, saw her, and they were going in opposite directions on the moving sidewalks, I think. So my daughter was so excited she called, and we said, well, why didn't you go and say something? Oh, I'm too shy. And it was like, trying to figure out, what was it really her? Well, my daughter went and checked her Twitter feed, and she wrote that day about having an awful day at the airport in Dallas.
In Dallas, it was her.
And excited. So my daughter sent her a note on Twitter, and she wrote back. She said, oh, you should have said something. It would have improved my day.
So, yeah, Jordan's great. She's a sweetheart. Definitely miss her presence around set, that's for sure.
She not doing season 5?
She did a little season 5 so far. I don't know if I'm actually allowed to say anything, so I can't go there. But in season 4, she was back a little bit, so.
Well, I remember she was taken off to college at the end of season 4. So.
Yeah.
All right. I have to ask you, we'll wrap up in just a minute, but I have to ask you about your role in Watchmen. It was obviously one of the most talked about and wildly anticipated comics and graphic novel type movie. How did you feel to play a part in that?
I was actually really excited to play a part in that. Just the cast alone, I was looking forward to being on set with them. My role was so minor, but I still think it's probably the most epic opening sequence of any film I've ever seen. So I am very happy to be a part of that sequence, that's for sure. It was cool. It was what's that?
No, I was going to say the same thing. It was very cool.
Yeah, it really was. And it was a very surreal experience to be on set in the Mothman costume throwing a football with Zack Snyder.
That would be kind of neat. That would be amazing. Dave Gibbons, one of the co-creators of the show, has been on here twice, and he's a good guy. So anyway, is there a particular character that you find that you are most recognized for when you are recognized for things, or is it Zane?
Now it's Zane. It's Zane now. That's for sure. It's definitely Zane, and a few people that know me as Zane always throw in the oh, and you were Mothman too. So that always comes up.
There is that. Just before we end, you're shooting season 5 of Eureka. Is there a commitment beyond 5? I actually do not know that.
You know what? We don't know either. We don't know until August 15th. That's the day when all of the actors find out if there is another season. So then there should be some more news coming out around that time, I would imagine.
Would you like to go for another round?
Do we freeze up here?
It's bouncing a little bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Would you like to go for another round, another season?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone would like to go for another season, absolutely.
Good. That's what we want to hear in our house.
It's the show that keeps on going.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, folks, you can watch the season 4.5 premiere of Eureka on Sci-Fi. It's Monday, July 11th at 8 p.m., and then continuing Mondays through the rest of the summer. And you can also buy the just-released DVD of the first half of Season 4. It's at a great price at MrMedia.com. Niall, we mentioned that you were on Twitter. Do you want to give out your Twitter address? Do you want to tell people how they can follow you?
Oh, it's very tricky. It's at Niall Mader.
So if you can spell it, you can find him. And are you a Facebook or a website, any of that other stuff, or just Twitter?
Facebook, I keep that really private just for people that I've actually met in person, and that's how I roll with that one.
In the social media age, you only want to communicate with people you know? Where does that come from?
Yeah. That comes from being a small-town farm boy. That's where that comes from.
I definitely get that. I understand. Well, Niall Mader, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun to talk to you. Very gracious with your time. And thanks for joining us, Mr. Media, today.
It was a pleasure. You take care.
Thank you. And, folks, for more original interviews with America's top actors and actresses, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. You can also download our new free Mr. Media mobile app for the Android. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of Eureka when they're not being evacuated. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. If you've got an idea for a guest to comment on today's show or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line, 1-727-498-4711. And you can follow Mr. Media on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. Excuse me. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye, everybody.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin.com Brown from the Emmy Award-winning 30 Rock, and you know what? I wish I had 30 rocks to throw at Mr. Media's ass. Yeah!
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.